Welcome to the Manasquan School District Board of Education Combined Committee of the Whole Meeting, a regular public board meeting for September 21st, 2021. Call to order, 48-hour notice, opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the times limits prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance.
To the United States of America. To the Republic of which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Sandy.
Mr. Balderman.
Here.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Burns.
Here.
Mrs. Kataia. Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mr. Hovater.
Here.
Mr. Angolia.
Here.
Mr. Lucretta.
Here.
Mrs. McGarry.
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mrs. Pollock.
Here.
Mr. Serena. Julia McGarry.
Here.
Lily Burke. Joy Nolan. We have quorum.
Mission statement. Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with the community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes it may appear that to members of the audience and Board of Education takes action with very little comment, in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next combined committee of the whole and regular board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the committee of the whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during the regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote. Acceptance of minutes. Recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined committee of the whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of August 17, 2021. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such time as a reason for discussing and acting on the matter in closed executive session no longer exists. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes? Mr. Balderman? Mr. Burns?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hovater?
Abstain.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mr. Lucretta?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Abstain.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Carrie?
Okay, so for the first time in a year and a half, we now have our student board representatives. Welcome. Yep, Julia, since this is your first meeting, I'm going to swear you in, okay? So you have a paper in front of you, if you could stand up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read this to you, you just repeat it after me, but you can also read it right from your page there, okay?
Okay.
You can raise your right hand. I state your name.
I, Julia McGarry.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state under the authority of the people.
I state your name.
I, Julia McGarry.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the student liaison to the Board of Education.
I, Julia McGarry, do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the student liaison to the Board of Education.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Good. Congratulations, Julia.
Thank you.
After your report and before you leave, you can just sign that and leave it right there, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for being here. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I know it's your first meeting. Do you have anything to report on this evening?
For the student council, we had our first meeting a couple days ago, and this week we have back to school night tomorrow, where we help the parents throughout the hallways and guide them to where the classrooms are. And then on Saturday we have Alumni Day, which is our big day. And we also do the snack shacks, which is helps us raise a lot of money for the for each class, so that's a big thing. And all the seniors just got the privilege, thanks to Dr. Cajun and Mr. Goodall, to get to lead for unit lunch again. So that's a big thing.
Well, I must admit, this morning outside of school, I asked her to throw me a bone, and she said she would. So she said she would thank me and Mr. Goodall for having me to senior lunch. So I'm just going to be truly transparent. So thank you for that. You're a lady of your work. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Welcome. Students' perception is always welcome here by all the members of the Board of Education. I truly mean this. At the end of the day, their decisions on base what's best for the students. It really is. And whatever you need to bring to the table, if you have some things to say and some things to ask for, don't hesitate to see Mr. Goodall, myself, and we'll capture it accordingly so you can approach the board that night and report to them about how things are going. Okay?
Thank you.
Awesome.
So that'll move us on to our presentations. School safety first.
That's me. Now, I know you have homework. So if you'd like to get up and leave and have some cookies on the way out, if you want to stay for the presentations, by all means, there'll be a 5-minute break between our presentations and then the rest of the board meeting. So I'll give you an opportunity to leave that as well, but it's truly on you, okay? I know a lot of physics work going on with our new physics teacher. Okay, now we have our school safety and security report by Mr. Clayton and Echo. You could either move the podium for yourself, if you have notes if you want to.
I do have notes because I have to wear my glasses.
I'll be happy to hold Echo for you.
If you've got Echo loose, let her patrol.
You'll run out. Right, puppy? All right. Thank you. I just wanted to briefly go over a few of the things that have been in place and or continue to be in place, just kind of update where we are as a district as a whole with the schools. Echo, she just turned a year and a half. She found a pencil. She just turned a year and a half. And she's really doing well. She's with me every day at school. And she's completing her detection blueprint training through Tar Heel Canine in North Carolina. And training is continual. I'm also being assisted by a local police department in sending the rags for me. What we do is we send rags with actual narcotics, and then I play with her. I play with her a lot in here, which is why she's a little excited. And we hide the scents throughout the building, and then we just play, and she goes finds her toy, and we tug. So she's a little awkward right now.
Truly, she's 1.5, and she's proven it.
She's still a puppy.
Yes.
And no matter how much I run her and exercise her, she's a little fired up. Her environmentals are excellent. I have her every day and had her every day in both buildings since she's been 7 weeks old. We maybe missed a handful of days. But she goes up and down the stairs in the elevators, in every room, on every floor surface. We walk around slamming lockers. She's comfortable. She'll walk the halls with every student and change of class, and she just focus straight ahead, doesn't really approach anybody. The hands will go out and touch her as they go by. And she's very approachable, very comfortable around her students. Really likes the little guys the most. They seem to have gravitated to her more. So over at the elementary school, she really enjoys when they come up and pet her. And I make everything positive, all her contacts are positive. So when a student comes up and pets her, I feed, makes it a very positive thing for her. She's very excited when she gets pet because I keep her. So, and she's used way beyond the actual original plan. I use her in educational settings as well. I do the forensics class with her. Then I do my own class with her. We do the training in my class, and I also go to the other public safety classes. And then we've been to the elementary school, and we've been in a few classes in the elementary school, explaining how to approach a dog, how to ask if you can pet, and all those types of things we do with her. She's also working with one of our students in the ABA program once a week, and that student assists me training her. So this week was our first week together, and we went out back and worked on her hunt training out in the backfield, and how we use her to get used to hunting. So she's really working out well. Her temperament is more than I could ask for when we pick a puppy. So when it comes to, I'm going to move off of that, going to go to security, because that won't be too long. We had a multi-pronged approach to security. I know I gave a demonstration to the board a few years ago regarding this, and I just want to let you know that the plan is still in place. We're still following this plan, and it's working pretty well. I'm very, very happy with our plan. So our physical security, we do have school safety officers at the point of entry, both schools, the entire time students are present. We also have our vestibules in. We did that a few years ago. We still utilize our vestibules. And then we have our visitor management program. We still have our visitor management system in place with the lobby guard. You know, the staff escorts visitors. So that's our physical security of the buildings. Then we have our emergency planning. Our emergency plan is updated every year. I just updated it for this school year. That'll be coming out real soon. And then the last part of this is our, you know, our last part of this is our threat assessment program. What we try to do is identify, I work with the social worker Liz Rutter and our student assistant counselor Lee Busco on a daily basis. And I meet with them as much as possible, sometimes an hour a day, sometimes 5 minutes a day. But we really discuss any student we feel needs some type of assistance or some type of intervention. And we look for those items. And then once a month, we'll meet with the administrators and just formalize what we've been doing. Under that threat assessment, we're looking, the obvious stuff is the any type of violence, any type of, you know, fight, weapon, anything like that is the obvious intervention. The other stuff is the nonviolent intervention we look for. So it's like increased absenteeism, failing grades, change of appearance, those type of things, because in an emergency situation, during the emergency and after the emergency, everybody knows what to do. It's the pre-emergency we try to get ahead of now, and we try to identify any student that, again, needs intervention, needs all the services possible. For us, and again, that's continuing. I do it constantly with them. We're all office in the same area, and we really do talk quite a bit regarding these things. When it came to this start of the year, it's very, you know, obviously the masking is a very difficult thing sometimes, but our students are very respectful about it. They're very respectful group, and I have no complaints with that at all. Again, we're implementing our locker inspection program. I know I presented this to the board before, where we do a random neutral plan, check lockers. We're looking for any contraband. We're looking for lunches that were left for 5, 6, 7 days, the pile of lunches that leak into other lockers. So it's just preventing those things and keeping it as less intrusive as possible. And again, the plans for the year have been set. And the last part I wanted to touch on was our Be Proud program. So our voluntary random drug testing program. We currently just under 30 students now enrolled, but I talked to Mr. Goodall, I talked to Lee Busco about this. We're coming up with a strategy to get more student members into this program to keep it going. That's what I have going on so far this year.
I thought it was important that at the beginning of the year that Tim had an opportunity to present to the board exactly what we're continuing to do, how ECHO's doing, and also focus on the Be Proud program. We still have it. We still have 30 students actively engaged in the program. last year, and it threw us a monkey wrench because of the type of year we had. But we are going to put out a pamphlet, and we are going to pursue giving parents the opportunity to sign up their children. There is legislation right around the corner, as we all know, that we have to be aware of about cannabis, and then that does become a popular choice for some people. We have to be very vigilant about it, and we will. But then parents can opt to join the program, which we still have. So that pamphlet will be coming out shortly, and we'll be giving those parents an opportunity to sign their children up for it. We missed our freshman class, which is now our sophomore class, last year, and our freshman class this year. We're going to reach out to them now, but we'll reach out to the whole school just to let them know that we still have it, and we are still actively engaged, and we still have the certification to be a testing center, so it's still in place. And as you can see, Echo's doing great. And Tim done a fabulous job with her. She looks so healthy, and she's so alert. She's so playful. And job well done.
Right.
Really.
Wow.
Yes. Any questions for Tim at all?
Just okay. In reference to the BPRAP, is that something that we could extend as we when we visit the elementary schools? And so the parents know ahead of time what it is and where. I mean, if you have a pamphlet, that's great, but just seems like, I don't know, we've been at this for a while, not 30 does not seem like a, we wouldn't have been happy if we said 3-4 years ago we're going to have 30 kids. So
we had some
momentum. There's definitely a disconnect somewhere.
The momentum went away as we went into that unprecedented year that we had. So we were all focused on different things, and now our focus is coming back on this. So to answer your question, yes, it's something that we can let the elementary school parents, especially in our middle level, know that we have and be prepared for as they go to the high school. To extend it to the middle level, I don't know if we're ready to do something like that.
That's not.
Yeah, no,
I just meant as a notice. As another school in the box for somebody that's considering coming to high school.
I think what we'll do is reach out to the entire school community with our brochure and let them know that we still have it, so everybody knows, our middle school through our senior class.
But the two years ago, what was the number at? Do you remember?
At one point, we had just under 100.
Yeah.
What happened, I mean, my personal opinion, obviously, is the legalization of cannabis has really changed the mindset of a lot of people in the prevention, early intervention, prevention. I was at the freshman orientation here. I had the table up with the pamphlets. I've always had people sign up. This was the first year I didn't have much interest at all. I don't know if it was just everything going on in the last year and a half, a combination of everything, I'm not sure. But like we do have, you know, we are talking about get strategies to get more information out because it's a pretty decent program.
I think we have to take a step back, identify that, the fact that we had 100, now we're down to 30, and now what are we going to do as we move forward? So again, it's a matter of choice. So let the parents know we have this option for you if you want to get involved in it. And Rob?
We certainly, as we try to resume visiting all of the elementary schools, sending district elementary schools, as long as they'll have us, Mrs. Kenny and I and her guidance counselors, to promote BPRAP as part of the programs that we have, along with the classes that we have and programs, co-curriculars, but re-advertise that and promote that.
I think one of the things I'd like to see it become more of a club again. As you recall, when we first initiated it, well, you weren't here, but it was a club atmosphere. And there were things that the students had the opportunity to, and that's on Lee. Lee has to develop this, so I think that would help as we move forward. Good?
Yeah, I mean, I just think as these next few years, as it becomes more mainstream, it'd be more important to accelerate this than to just sit back and wait.
Again, it's just up to the parents to take advantage of. Tim, thank you. And Echo. Well done, Echo. There you go.
He woke her up.
Now from New Road Construction, we have Rob Notley to focus on our current project.
Fieldhouse project. Sorry,
are jointly funded by the Borough of Manasquan and the school district. Karski Millman is the architect for consulting engineers, is the civil engineer for the project, and our general contractor is H&S Construction. We've already gone through this stuff in the past, and I've revisited it, just a summary of what the building consists of. Current project status, the contract was awarded to H&S in March of 2021. They secured a construction permit, QMEA. They're still in the process of procuring subcontracts, equipment and material. We've had a couple of fairly productive meetings with the utilities that serve the building. New Jersey Natural Gas has already relocated the gas service. And today we met with Jersey Central Power and Light, general contractor and our electrical subcontractor to plan for the new electrical service, which will involve a one-day shutdown. We're trying to coordinate that, so we're going to do that during the NJEA convention. Finish and color selections are being made. We hope to get through the last of that process tomorrow when we meet with the school administration. From a construction standpoint, the contractor has finally mobilized on site, fully mobilized. The silt fence and the riprap tire planing pad are installed with the requirements of the New Jersey DEP to meet the soil conservation and sediment control measures. The junior varsity softball fence and backstop will be moved. We also took down some of the field lights. Site clearing is well underway. Actually today gotten down to about finished grade, and we have scheduled a preparatory work meeting tomorrow with the general contractor and their concrete subcontractor prior to them starting the concrete footings for the buildings. I expect that that work on the footings will start either next week or the week after. Not a lot of progress at this point, but we finally started to gain some traction. Just a couple of photos. You're probably better off just looking out the window or taking a look as you leave. But you can see that they got the stone entrance down, which is basically a tire scrubber. So, when construction vehicles are leaving the site, they're not tracking an excessive amount of mud onto the parking lot and onto the residential roads. And you can see that they've got a couple of stockpiles set up. Topsoil that's going to be kept on site, and then any excess fill material is going into a smaller stockpile, which is being removed from the contractor as they go through the process of site clearing. With that, any questions?
Questions? Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. And normally we would have a 5-minute break at this time. I'm asked the board if we just continue and have the principal's report as we move forward.
Sure.
And Julia, this is when we would have our 5-minute break, so it'd be a good time for you. If you'd like to go do that physics homework, I'm with you. Okay? And thank you. Now, from the Lower Elementary School, we have Mrs. Pelea.
Good evening, everybody. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
All right, so we had a really smooth start to our pre-K through 4. This is a picture of Miss Sake. Each morning, the students line up and select the handshake that they want, and then they perform the handshake. It's adorable. And the kids are really excited to enter the classroom at that point. So it's a nice entryway for the pre-K 4 classroom to start their day. But in general, around the school, teachers are developing routines and establishing their classroom cultures. We're also beginning now in this week the iReady diagnostic. That testing will be utilized to help drive instruction through our math program. As part of one of my goals was to get into every classroom, and I read the book Our Class is a Family by Shannon Olson. It was a really great way for me to get to know the students. I was able to read. It was a short story, but the conversation was the powerful part. I really enjoyed getting to know each and every student. They really contributed to the discussion. It was a really great learning experience for them and for me. This book, I selected it because it supports a strong classroom culture, a family-like mentality, even though you're not related, what creates a family. And it also works on building connections. We talked a little bit about sign language, Me Too, being a connection with other people when they're speaking. This book also focuses on valuing building connections and celebrating the uniqueness of each individual and how powerful that can be in a classroom culture. Okay, and then this year for pre-K-4, we went to a full year program. And these are just a couple of snapshots from today, actually, of the students eating lunch and being out on the playground. Everything's been going really smoothly. Students are able to, you know, eat by themselves independently for the most part, with a little assistance in opening things. But for the most part, they have been eating, you know, all on their own and going outside and really, you know, getting dirty instead of and having fun. Today they were out, you know, playing. Some kids were playing in the grass and the dirt, and then others were playing on the playground. So it was nice to see, well adapting to the full day. And this is a snapshot of our guidance counselor, Ms. Harmony Schwer. She is doing yoga lessons in each of the classrooms. This was a kindergarten classroom, and the kids were all about following Ms. Schwer with her yoga poses. She was reading a book, I Am Yoga, and just celebrating, I believe it's Yoga Awareness Month or something along those lines. And she's really bringing it to the classrooms, and the students are really enjoying that time with her. Also, with guidance, we are working on lunch bunch groups for students who are having a hard time, making friends and things of that nature. We're developing groups to try and catch that early and develop social groups for them and opportunities to meet and play. We'll be using the Mindfulness Garden as a place where the students can kind of play a game and just have a conversation. So we'll be facilitating that over the next couple of weeks. We're also working on the Week of Respect and celebrating each of those days during that week with a different event, and I'll be able to report on that next month. And then the last piece of this is next year we will be rolling out a new literacy program. So this year we are working on the selection. And so first I just wanted to run through, you know, the process of how that will run. We're going to develop a committee, and that committee will include teachers of different grade levels, having each grade level represented. We'll have some special education teachers from each grade band, the director of curriculum, the principals, and we'll also offer this process to the sending districts as well so that they can be involved in our discussions and selection. Then what we're going to do is investigate some programs, and we'll contact the reps for some presentations. And based on that committee selection, we'll be able to kind of narrow it down to a few that we appreciate. So the next step would be for us to create a rubric that aligns with our values. So we'll collaborate and figure out what are our wants for this program, and we'll utilize a uniform rubric when we're evaluating these presentations so that we can make a strong selection and we're all on the same page. From there, we'll narrow down to the strongest programs, and we'll select one, maybe two programs to pilot at each grade band level. And then afterwards, we'll observe and we'll meet to review the feedback and then make a recommendation to the board. That's the overall literacy program selection plan.
Any questions about that at all? That process is the same process we utilize for the math. And before the curriculum piece is accepted, the board will have an opportunity to hear from the principals and the director of curriculum and instruction and exactly which they chose and why, and then you'll have an opportunity at that particular time to review it and ask any questions you have and see that it fits in your mind what you feel is necessary. Good? Excellent, Jackie, thank you. Now, Mrs. Minetta from our upper elementary school.
Thank you, good evening, everyone. So first I just want to say how much my kindergartner enjoyed Mrs. Paleo reading the story in her class, and also how much she's enjoying the yoga teacher, Miss Harmony. It's been a really special opportunity for me to watch as a parent and see what that transition to kindergarten looks like, and I'm happy to report that it's been fantastic. I have a very happy, smiling child who comes home every day thanks to the hard work of our principal and our teacher, so it's been great to watch. I had mentioned to you all at the last meeting that I was working with our counselor to develop a cell phone contract to roll that out to our students. I did meet with each grade level at the beginning of the year. We talked about the hefty responsibility that comes with being given an opportunity to have your cell phones at lunchtime and recess. Happy to report that our kids are taking that responsibility seriously at this point. Couple of things that, you know, I was on the lookout for in lunch and recess, points of concern. I want to make sure the kids are socializing and not overly relying on the technology. I wanted to make sure that they're still playing at recess and getting that physical activity. That is happening. So this picture on the bottom right is just a photo I took one day at recess. The kids are, they're playing. They're not standing around, hovering around a phone. They truly are playing basketball, kicking soccer balls around. They're playing Foursquare. There's a lot of interaction going on at lunchtime. You'll sometimes see two kids looking at something kind of together on a phone, but they really are interacting. They're talking and laughing, and it's still a very social and physical environment at lunch and recess, which is what we're looking for. So, so far, so good. I will be continuing to monitor and certainly addressing anything as it comes up, but for now, we're in a good place with that. We did get to start our fall sports at MES, so the coaches are meeting, practices are happening, games are starting, so it's exciting. You'll see kids. I just saw a whole bunch of girls riding home with field hockey sticks sticking out of their bags on their bikes. So it's been great to watch our kids get back at it on the athletic field, and we urge anybody to come out and see our games as they're happening at the Army camp while our field is under construction. We are excited also to be getting back to our PTO activities, our traditional beginning of the year PTO activities. So the photo all the way on the left is a photo from the ice cream social, which was a very well attended event in our parking lot. We had many, many families in attendance. The kids had a great time. It was lots of ice cream and gummy bears and face painting and temporary tattoos and bubbles and sidewalk chalk. And it was a truly, truly glorious Manasquan evening. So it's great to get back to those events. I want to thank all the parents and families who came out last night for our back to school night event for grades 6 through 8. It was a really great night. The teachers had a great opportunity to talk about their programs with the parents. It's very well attended. Prior to the back to school night, I met with our eighth grade committee. We were very actively fundraising. We're doing a lot to get ready for making our students last year at MES a very special one. Some fundraisers we have going on. We have our mom sale. We're taking a look at different opportunities. We have a table being given us the opportunity at the Intracoastal Tug. So we'll be doing lots of fundraisers. Please support your eighth grade class because we're trying to give them a wonderful send off. I am taking a look currently at the trip that our eighth graders take. By popular demand, there was a request to change up the trip from the historical trip that's been taken. So we're taking a look at some things in Philadelphia. I'll keep you posted as I get the tour companies things, and obviously we'll seek your approval on anything before we make the change.
Well, the only thing I ask is that well ahead of the trip that you bring to us the trip that the eighth graders feel that they'd like to go on, so we can discuss it in committee of a whole and then make a decision on approving the trip.
Absolutely.
I'm only speaking for myself. You know, I truly believe that we should offer them the opportunity that they feel is the one that they really want. Mm-hmm. I know we've gone to Gettysburg for so many years, and if they decide they want to go back, that's awesome.
Yep.
If they decide they'd like to go someplace else, but again, it's got to be a majority of those who want to go, and I leave it in your capable hands.
I appreciate
but
that.
I just would like the board to have the opportunity well in advance to make that decision.
Yep, so we're working, we should have an answer. At this point, we have some options, and we're working with the tour company to come up with a final price point for us to make sure that that's something that's going to be feasible for our fundraising and our parents and families to pay for, and also that we would think that as a board, it's a safe and appropriate trip for our kids to take. So I'll bring that to you shortly when I have the rest of that.
Perfect.
We also started the year on a really exciting note, rolling out ReadyMath to our 7th and 8th grade teachers. Last year, we rolled it out K to 6. It includes the iReady assessment. It's going to give us some really great data. Our 7th and 8th grade teachers really did a beautiful job during this training of having an open mind and listening and engaging in the mathematical discourse that is such a hallmark of the ReadyMath program. Our teachers are excited about all the resources that are made available to them, and we will continue to roll out additional in-person professional development for our 7th and 8th grade for their year one implementation while we are simultaneously doing the K to 6 implementation for year two. Hopefully, we'll have some great data and information to share out with you once we start the data collection process. One of the things, I know Ms. Palaio mentioned the process for looking at a new literacy program. we are following that same process with our science teachers. Our science curriculum could really use an overhaul at this point. Our teachers have done a really great job of continuing to stay up to date and bringing in new resources. However, the next generation science standards do take everything to the next level, and to have a new set of resources to do that is really a priority. So we are going to be following that same process where we're taking a look at the options, and we will hopefully have some things to present to you about some great science program options moving forward. The last thing I wanted to talk with you about tonight is just some programming for our ESL program. So while I am the principal for 5-3, I also serve here in the district as our ESL supervisor. So it's a passion of mine and something that's really important. Our ESL program is something that we're always taking a look at, because kids are coming in with different needs, and as that happens, we have to really flex and adjust. Currently, we have what's called a high-intensity ESL program, which means that our kids are met by an ESL teacher 2 periods a day. There are other models that we can kind of take a look at that we think might be good for our kids. One of those models is called the sheltered instruction model. And in a sheltered instruction model, the teachers who have ESL students in their classroom are specially trained to provide supports in their regular general education classroom, content classroom. And then in addition, they would get 1 period of ESL teacher support. So in a lot of ways, this model would allow us to have a series of teachers who are trained to give the supports to kids. The sheltered instruction strategies are great strategies for ESL students. They also happen to be great strategies for any student who has special education needs or who just learns a little bit differently. So something that we're really looking into. What sort of prompted us looking into this, we've been looking at our ESL data over the years about how our kids are changing, how long it's taking them to graduate out of our ESL program via the access testing, looking at their performance on the NJSLA exam when we had that historical data. And in addition, just taking a look at how many of our non-native English speakers are ending up eventually in like our honors programs, our algebra classes, and we really want to improve that. We really want to create a pathway for all of our students to reach those highest levels of achievement. So this is something we're really in the beginning stages of looking into, but I think it could be something that's really powerful for all of us. We are supporting our ELLs in a couple of new ways this year. So we are gonna have a technology night on October 4th. We're gonna have all of our families invited, pizza, and we're going to make sure they all know how to get on Parent Portal to check the grade books and the grades to make sure that they know how to fill out all the forms and they have access to everything. Our ESL, our counselor, Fatima Mulroy, will be assisting us with that, as well as technology to make sure everybody has access. So that's gonna be a great evening. And then we also have a fiesta planned for October 11th, which will sort of be a capstone at the end of Hispanic Heritage Month to celebrate the culture of the students. I think we're gonna invite the community at large to attend that. So hopefully it's a well-attended event, okay?
And you just mentioned 3 curriculums that we want to focus on. Mm-hmm. So curriculums, as you know, can range anywhere from $100,000 to $200,000. And I think that it's one of my focuses to ensure that we enrich the students the best we can with curriculum. So you've spoken about a new ESL program as well. If there's any way that we can do some trainings this year as opposed to next year's budget, I think it would help us stretch our dollars. Mm-hmm. So that when you take a look at those science and language arts literacy needs that we have, and we build the budget for next year, if we can get those in January, mm-hmm. February, we mm-hmm. can sort of make that our priority so we can start next year with them, it would help. Yeah. So actually what I'm saying, Pete, if we do have to do some trainings for our ESL program, I'd like to see some monies we have this year and some grant funds or whatever to sort of do those trainings. So, if you can, and I know you just talked, you presented a lot tonight for the curriculum piece, but they're all things that we want to do, mm-hmm. and I want to do yesterday.
Yeah.
But we'll do them in a timely fashion and the best that we can.
That's great. So we've been in touch with the professional development company. They have some great presenters that they could offer, working on dates and possibilities. So we'll see. Hopefully we can get some of that into place this year.
Perfect.
Thanks, everybody.
I have a question.
Sure.
You were saying about having somebody there to help the ESL families get online. And
yes.
I have a dumb question. If it's in English and the family or caregivers don't read English, how is that going to help them?
Right. So we have some of the things are already translated into Spanish. We have some documents to help people do things using, like, click this button.
Other languages? Are there other languages that we have, like, would we need a Chinese translation or a French translation? Is it mostly Spanish?
So our ESL population is strictly Spanish at this point.
Okay.
So we are only dealing with Spanish-speaking folks, which does simplify the process for us a bit.
Our
Genesis parent portal does have a translation tool that's built right into it for Spanish. However, I think it's really best for us to provide in-person support. And to make sure that on their phone, like on phones, people know how to access it versus on the computer. So there's just like a number of steps and practices.
But if they're accessing it and they can't read English, the parent or the caregiver, what can we do to help that part of it?
So we're working with, so Fatima Mulroy, who is our counselor, our newest hired counselor, she is helping us with a variety of translation services, but also is the support and the liaison between families. Yeah,
okay.
So she works directly with the families. She can help them, you know, to translate anything that's necessary, but also sit with them and make sure that they can understand. So,
Okay. Yeah,
so it's a powerful tool for us to have that bridge, and we're so grateful for her because it's really making a difference for a lot of kids and families, and that's exactly what we were hoping for.
Okay.
In fact, Donna, this year, she actually, I watched her address a couple of the students, the younger children, in their language, and they just perked up. And it was so nice to see that happen.
It was more comfortable for them.
So I complimented her on, because it's exactly what we wanted with the culture and the language and making those students feel as part of the family, feel
right.
Home here. And I was in front of the school about 3 days ago, Rob was there, and I turned around and there she was, receiving those children as they came off the bus, the older ones, and just saying good morning to them.
Nice.
So it's only been a week and she's made an impact already.
Yep.
So it's exactly what we wanted to see. So that was a great question and she's
good.
Really helping with that.
Yeah. Excellent,
so.
Thank you.
Thanks. Go ahead.
The sheltered instruction in that, having that in the classroom, what does that look like in terms of assistance?
So what sheltered instruction really talks about is the idea that we can do things as classroom teachers that will help our English language learners to access the content in our classroom. So things like more visual supports, things, for example, if you give directions, not just giving directions orally, but also putting them up like on a slide. So they're just different structural pieces. It also involves having classroom teachers have a specific language goal in mind in addition to their content goal. So in other words, making sure that all of the kids in your classroom are talking every day, having that accountability for talking, making sure they're using their opportunities to speak, making sure you're building in all the reading, writing, listening, and speaking aspects so that they're hitting all of that in their language acquisition process. So I hope that answers the question.
No, it does.
Okay.
And thank you for the feedback on how the cell phone policy is going and also for implementing the boundaries.
Yeah,
so
my pleasure.
It's good to know it's working.
I'm going to continue to monitor it. And like I said, I said to the kids, if it's not going well, it everything can change, right? Everything is flexible, but we're going to continue to monitor it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think that it provides the student more of an inclusive environment and least restrictive, which I think is very important. And then the pedagogy that the teacher in the classroom who has ESL students, no matter what language they speak, have learned to focus on the teaching methodologies in a way that can be received more kinesthetically and visually. So, I'm pretty excited about seeing it.
Did you have a question?
Yeah, Ms. Mineta, so two brief things. Last night was fantastic to be back in the school. Huge success. And having everyone in the hallways just welcoming the parents as, you know, we all came in was just great. It was great to be back. So thank you. And I see the picture with the outdoor space.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a great September. And obviously it's great to get the kids outside.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to ask, as far as the field, do we have a time frame as to, you know, I know soccer and other sports are being played at the mm-hmm. Army camp right now. Do we know when that will be back up and running?
Mm-hmm.
To that point, they're going to be finished with the major construction on the field probably within 6 weeks.
Yeah, even sooner. We're looking at about mid-October for the construction to be complete. Then the sod has to mature, though. So
yeah,
it's not like you can step
the
right
sod's going to have to mature this time. The last time, the sod they put down, and we had looked at it, and New Roads had looked at it, and Edwards Engineer was out here looking at it, and we questioned it. We had it worked on several times. I remember Tom walking on the field with me and seeing that wasn't coming together because it couldn't grow down. Now they have 6 feet sections on big rolls of sod like they would from Tuckahoe Farms, and they're going to need to give that at least, I'm going to say at least 3 months.
7 months. Spring season will be back up and running.
Yeah. So to utilize it, the field's going to look great, but we can't really utilize it till the spring.
Okay. But I appreciate that teachers and you all are still trying to get the kids outside.
They're outside.
You know, this, which is great, thank you.
So we're using the blue picnic tables in the back. We have a group that will, you know, hang up there. We use the blacktop. We left the bleachers out,
awesome.
So the kids have done the bleachers. And then some of the younger students are still able to access that lower playground unit, still graded for that grade level. So we're able to spread out enough, and the kids are still able to play basketball and everything else. So it's working out.
No, it's great, thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Ms. Mineta. Now from the high school, Mr. Goodall.
Good evening, everyone. We had a fantastic school opening, and it started on September 7th when we welcomed our incoming class, and Julie McGarry spoke about being a part of the Welcome Warriors. We had about 30 students there to welcome our freshman class, to help them transition into our high school from not only Manasquan Elementary, but all of our sending districts. Very well attended. As the teachers were preparing their classrooms, doing some professional development, the ninth grade teachers went above and beyond and allowed the kids to run through their schedules so they know exactly where their classes were for the first day of school. And it was a great opening to the school year. And then we welcomed the entire building back, just shy of 1,000 kids back on September 8th. And we've been full go since. It's just been fantastic having everyone in the building. With, as you know, with the national shortage of bus drivers, we had to work with some of our sending districts to ensure our kids are safe and secure, and they can get here and they're delivered home safely to their family. So, in an effort to work with the bus company, we adjusted our drop and rotate schedule just a bit, where they have a 56-minute period instead of a 58-minute period. We know our teachers know they have to be a little more pinpoint in their delivery of instruction to make up for the loss of time, but with contract obligations with our teaching association. And you heard Julia speak of the unit lunch, how important that was to the kids to have that so they can be with their friends and also attend all of the extra help labs and AP labs that we have. We felt that this was the best schedule for us to implement for the remainder of the year, and we'll see where it goes next year. But that's available for parents to see on the website, and so far so good, and everything working out with this schedule. Tomorrow is our high school back to school night. We're going to begin our program in person for 6:30 p.m. We'll have several organizations, students here to help parents navigate their child's schedule. All the information has been sent to parents on how to do that, and we will have their child's schedule available in case they forgot, so they can follow along. We'll have some light refreshments served in the cafeteria. Prior to that, as previously discussed, myself, Mr. Coppola, and Mrs. Kenny are going to have a brief presentation on the importance of AP classes and what expectations are in those classes, potential college credit that they can get, the rigor of those classes, and of course taking the AP test as their reward for going through that journey, as I discussed in my last presentation. So we have a brief presentation in the gym at 5:30 tomorrow for all of the students' parents who take AP or potentially could take AP moving forward. Dr. Cajun and I noticed that we were a little short on our marching band this year. And so we met with Mr. Bramley and Mr. Wemkin about how that happened, and I appreciate all the kids who are out there playing their hearts out, but we did notice it's a little short this year. I know some of the, and speaking to Mr. Wemkin, some of the sending districts and had trouble with COVID and everything, kids participating in those activities. So we did a little study of our roster, and we lost 17 students with graduation last year and only took in 7. And just like we mentioned the Be Proud program before, it's all about recruitment. So Mr. Wemkin is going to bring the band down to the elementary school and the sending districts, advertise this program, go down to the sending districts when they're filling out their class elections with Mrs. Kenny and their counselors to promote his program, and also to have a band student day where they come up and participate with the band here. So it's all, you know, we told him we need to see bigger numbers in the band, and he's dedicated into making that happen for next year. And that's his advertisement for the program. And that was my report for today.
Thank you. Are there any questions at all?
Mr. Goodall, how have the students accepted the wearing the mask, and how's that going?
I think having the open lunch, the ability of mass breaks, having our outside picnic area, we've been able to give them enough of a break where, you know, most of the students are compliant. Typically, you know, during the course of the day, sometimes we have to remind them not wearing it properly. But for the most part, you know, the kids have been very compliant about it and understand that, we have to enforce it, and it's for the safety of others. So as a building principal, I haven't been concerned how the kids are handling it.
Thanks. Before we finish our presentations for this evening, we got our state championship esports plaque. And I think this actually says a lot. My administrative team and I realized that it's not a one focus fits all. Many students come to this building for many different reasons. And when we first instituted this concept, I want to thank the board for being open-minded about it. Because at the time, 2 years ago, when Jesse and I went, I guess it was 3 years ago, down to, wasn't even ISTE, it was here in the state that we saw this presentation about esports and all the money that was out there, we put it back, and you were very open to it. And now our students are doing extremely well with it. But it's another indication that we listen, and what the students feel can benefit them, we're more than happy to have those clubs and activities for them. So I think this to me means a lot. And Amy Edwards has done a wonderful job. It seems everything she touches turns to gold. And this is a great example of it. So I just wanted to show you, we got this, and we're gonna hang it. And right now it's gonna be in Amy's room. And then we will hang it in a place where you can see, hopefully by the front door. I mean, it's just awesome. And with that, I believe that concludes our presentations for this evening.
Dr. Kazin, if I could just throw out there, I'm glad that we're focused on, you know, the band and seeing how we can increase numbers. I heard a great story from a teacher in the high school. A varsity athlete yelled out in the hallway to someone in the band, a peer in the band, if they were gonna be at the game that night. And when they said yes, they were like thrilled. Just that camaraderie between is amazing, and I think that's fantastic. You know, and hopefully we can keep the numbers up.
It speaks to the character of our children.
Yeah.
We have a great student.
It absolutely does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a try. Again, and
it's all about recruitment.
Yeah.
For anything.
Yeah.
I believe we're sending a good number from LES to our band here at the high school, but I think getting involved, you know, getting the sending.
We had
well,
Mr.
Had
Clark is
different
very
yes.
our program.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's different. There were different access to different plants on how they were dealing with instruction. And, you know, we just this year the recruitment numbers weren't as large as we previously, as you have a graduating class. So it makes sense that we
yeah.
sort of. It's about missing 10 to 15 kids.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
So that'll bring us to our first public forum and agenda items only. Time may be allotted for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of this meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes. In duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and group, if any, they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through the presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. In order to ensure that all members of the public who wish to participate are afforded a timely and orderly opportunity to do so. The board may not answer questions posed by those making comments. The board may address questions posed during this period once all members of the public wishing to speak have done so. The board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of performance of promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only. Does anyone have any comment on agenda items? Seeing no one, we'll move on to our second public forum. Does anyone have any comments on anything on the agenda or not on the agenda? Seeing no one, we'll end the public forum portion of the meeting, and we'll move on to our discussion items. Turn it back over to Dr. Cajun.
Thank you. Now it's time for Committee of the Whole. And as we move into Committee of the Whole, Education, Curriculum, and Technology, you had a presentation tonight. In so many words, we were focusing on our new curriculums for the following year. We're putting them into the budget. We'll be receiving those for science and language arts literacy once that those committee processes have been put into place. So I hope to get those by, I guess people are going to have to get them by January in order to facilitate them into the budget for the following year.
I believe they'll be due for Christmas break, right?
And as we move into the budget, and it's only the first week of school, but Pete and I and Jesse have been talking about budget already. And there's always got to be a vision and a focus. And our vision and the focus this year is basically based on our curriculum and our teacher population. And one of the things that we're looking at is where our teaching needs are. We do have some teaching needs, so we'll come to the board to discuss some staff for next year, as long as we can fit them into the budget, to keep our class sizes consistent. So, with that, also, we are in the process of going into the New Jersey Quality Single Accountability Continuum, known as CUSAC. Yes, it's our time again. And Jesse, I, Pete, and Rick, I believe there weren't any other administrators on that call today. That was it?
Yeah.
I don't want to miss anybody. But it was the first step in hearing from the county as to exactly what we have to prepare for that. And it's a, CUSAC is a monitoring and self-evaluation and performance focus by the state and the county. And one of the things that we have that we're going to be graded on is the board's ability to look at mandated policies and adjust policies on first and second readings. So the only reason I'm even saying that this evening is so we get this in our notes. So when we get the notes from the recording, I have that to show Dr. Richens, because today on the call, we have Strauss Esme. And Strauss-Esme updates all our policies and keeps them consistent. So we're always right on target. We have our first and second meetings. In every one of our agendas, on the Committee of the Whole, you always receive the policies first. You read them, then we discuss them. And if you have any questions, we answer them. And they're always here. The policies numbered. It's, as you can see here, 1648.13 as an example, school employee vaccination requirements, mandated policy. You've received that policy. You've read that policy, and if there's any questions about that policy, we talk about that in open forum. So this is one of the areas where Dr. Richens said the list in which you look at now wasn't really enough. He wanted to see and hear those notes about our possibility to discuss them in public. So we do discuss these in public, and I'm making a note of that tonight. So on September 21st, 2021 is evidence that we do focus on policies. I've just laid out our process. Are there any questions about this at all? And we do that at every meeting. So, and Sandy, I hope you've taken meticulous notes on that, because I'll be asking for them. As you can see, all the mandated policies are here. Second reading policies for 1648, the road forward, which we discussed at the last meeting, as well as the policies and regs that we have for amendment are here. And any questions at all about any of the ones that we're amending or have mandated? You all received them on your portal, and you received them in your Friday packets, so we're all good. With that...
I was remiss. I'm looking at this for the first time, but why are we abolishing the religious holidays policy?
Excuse me?
The religious holidays policy, why is that being abolished?
It's been updated.
Okay.
I have the same question about the children displaced by domestic violence one. The other one we're abolishing, the children replaced by domestic violence, is that replaced by something else?
Jess?
Yeah, so both of those policies, the provisions that were in those policies are covered under other policies,
right.
So Strauss has made recommended. So the religion one is covered under the religion in schools policy, and I believe the other policy is covered under the eligibility policy for resident and non-resident students.
And those are policies we've already adopted?
Yes.
You have that because Strauss SMA, that's what you have there.
So Strauss SMA said, you don't need this one anymore, you already have it.
That's what I was saying.
Not that we're waiting for it to come out.
Correct.
Thank you.
To make it simple. Regarding finance, Dr. Crowley.
Yep, I'll be brief and just go over some financial notes as it relates to additional grant monies and reimbursements related to COVID. Building grounds and facilities, as a preview, will be covered by Dr. Cajun. So we got an update last week. I've kind of been updating you guys, as you're aware, every board meeting on the changing grant availabilities and what's been going on at the state level. We did get a notice last week about four additional sub-grants that are associated with ESSER III. They're coming through the same federal funding stream as ESSER III came through, but it includes additional funding that are targeted to some specific objectives. So those four sub-grants are accelerated learning and coaching educator support, which is related to providing professional development for our educators to address those learning gaps that might have arisen during COVID, how to accelerate learning in the regular classroom instruction. The second sub-grant is evidence-based summer learning and enrichment. Like it sounds like, that's about implementing summer-based instruction to help our kids catch up on what they missed during any kind of school closure. The third is comprehensive beyond the school day instruction. Again, just like the summer, it's for instruction outside of the traditional school day. And finally, there's the mental health support staffing sub-grant. This deals with the multi-tiered structure of supports, tier two and higher interventions. So kids who are exhibiting some significant needs in the social, emotional realm or academic realm can be addressed through that sub-grant. Also, I just want to update you on FEMA, who's providing reimbursement for costs related directly to disaster cleanup or disease mitigation. So we're in the process, and we've been in a rolling process in my office, and a lot of credit goes to Kim Reed for her diligent work on this, in applying for reimbursement from FEMA. The window for FEMA has opened and closed periodically, depending on who's in office and what's happening politically. But right now, it is open, and it will be remaining open through the last day of December this year for now. That's been moved back a number of times, so that may change. But we have had three successful applications for FEMA, and money has been obligated in the amount of about $181,000. Those funds go directly to reimbursing those extraordinary costs, like the upgraded MERV 13 filters, masks, signage. This goes back all the way to last year, so the temperature machines, any number of cleaners, the electrostatic sprayers and the cleaning solutions that go in them, anything directly related to mitigation of the disease in our schools. So we've been successful in getting some reimbursement there, and we hope to continue that success. We have two other applications in, and I'll certainly update you on that next, hopefully by next board meeting. Okay? Just a little preview too about the budget, since we talked about it a little bit. The next board meeting will be when we kind of formally kick off the budget year. We'll be approving our budget calendar at the next board meeting, and we can talk a little bit more about priorities moving forward. Any questions about any of that? I'm sure I'll have another update on different grants and things that have come up as well, since that seems to be changing every day. All right, thanks, Dr. Cajun.
You're welcome. Are there any questions about the information the committee of all before I go to my superintendent's report? Chief will let me. Good. Jake, can I move right to the superintendent? Both in statute 18A 36-51 and in the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights Act, it requires the school district to focus on October 23rd through October 31st as School Violence Awareness Week and Red Ribbon Weeks, which we're doing in all three of our schools. And you heard Mrs. Pelea allude to that tonight when she did her presentation. The School Violence Awareness Week started in 2003. School districts have been observing School Violence Awareness Week during the week, beginning from the third Monday in October, which is October 18th to 24th, as required. To help school districts, charter schools, and approved private schools for students with disabilities comply with the requirements for School Violence Awareness Week, the New Jersey Department of Education has provided guidance that is available online, and included in this particular agenda is the website that you can go to access this particular information. According to the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights that was developed in 2010, it requires that the week beginning with the first Monday in October of each year be designated as a week of respect. And tonight, in our agenda, I'm recommending to the board a resolution focusing on the School Violence Awareness Week, Red Ribbon Week, and our Week of Respect. And you can see that on item 14 in our agenda. Any questions about this at all? As we do every year. Also, you see many improvements in the high school. Over the past 3 years, our focus has been simultaneously to work on the infrastructure that we have in both buildings. And tonight, as a recap, we had many projects finished over the summer. I have some slides I'd like to show you about our finished projects in the elementary school. And it's all about investing in our future. And the upgrades to the Manasquan Elementary School started with Pod A. As you can see, we have new lights and floors in Pod A, which air, light, and space is crucial to a child's education. And it's one of our focuses, as you can see, just we're very fortunate to have an endowment that works hand in glove with us. And we're sitting in an example of a project that we both worked on together in this media center. And you can see the air, the lights, and the space that we have. It makes it so much more comfortable for us in there. So I'm very proud of the fact that we did work on Pod A, and took the carpets out. We have new lights and new floors. Also, we noticed where that little area we have our reading nook also received new lights, new paint, and also new floors. Pod B also got new lights and a floor replacement. There's field drainage project going on. Unfortunately, after the last project that we had on the field, it did leave some drainage to be desired. And we've done everything we can with our new engineer to ensure that this is going to be exactly what we had paid for the first time. So I'm very positive about this. And as we said, in the spring, we'll be able to utilize that for our spring sports. Keep going, Jess. Thanks. Again, very excited about our chorus and band room renovations. That we've upgraded the space, we have painted it, we have new lights, we have new floors, we took out the stages that they were not utilizing. We're going to put new storage space in there for them so they can store their instruments. And I believe that we had the input of both the music teacher and the chorus teacher, which are very happy with the spaces that we have there now. So it was something that really needed to be done, and we were able to finish it this summer.
Looks great.
Doesn't it really nice? It looks much bigger.
It does, because the stages that they took out the back that they weren't utilizing. One of the things I wish
now, is that one room split in two?
Yes, and we built the wall down in the center. And we made it so that there's a gap, there's an air pocket in there as well as insulation, so it deadens the sounds. Okay. So and so far I haven't heard any complaints about that. Because
yes,
you want to be able to practice at the same times in that room instead of someone leaving, going someplace else while somebody else is playing.
Very nice.
Also, the cafetorium floor was refinished. We had that problem with the crack in the cafetorium floor. That is now gone. It's been repainted, it's resealed. And you don't see it here because it's going to be done over, I believe, the teacher's break.
Yeah.
We're going to have new stenciled lines for basketball and volleyball on the court. So it looks brand new. And they're very diligent this summer in working on it. And I want to thank Dr. Crawley for his focus on this particular project and Mrs. Minetta, because they weren't happy several times with the way the paint was going down and had them redo it and so on and so forth. But we did get it to our satisfaction. Yes.
Excuse me, will they still need to test the mercury in there for a while, or now that it's sealed, it's remediated?
Actually, the answer to your question is we don't need to get it tested anymore. Not that we won't, we don't have to, because now it's sealed.
Okay.
But we sent to the insurance company a request for payment on insurance because of the numbers that we got with the gas that was supposed to be coming from the floor.
Okay.
And Pete, what did they say?
Yeah, I mean, essentially they said what I've discussed, that there is not a level of mercury that would rise to pollution. There is no mercury in the room other than ambient mercury levels. So ultimately, yeah. It's a, you know, a certainly precautionary move. It needed to be done, honestly, because there was physically a crack in the floor, so then that, you know, looks a lot nicer and a lot cleaner, but there was not really any detectable mercury at any point since we started testing.
But I'm happy we did the project anyway, because it's definitely more steady. So. And then, as you know, which I'm very happy to see it finished, the terrazzo floor refinishing, and you can see how the light shines off the floor. I think that's awesome. And then there's the pictures on the bottom of the drainage problem that we had. Now we have three clean outs that we can get to very easily. Children being who they are, sometimes they put things down. Receptacle that shouldn't be there, but that's okay. And now we can deal with it without having to shut it down because we have three different clean outs. And I really think they did the terrazzo match the best they could. You can see the picture on the right. And so now not only the cafeteria, water will be working better, that bathroom's up and running really well, and also the science room's not gonna be impacted by that. So all new pipes were laid down here, and they worked really hard. It was really something to watch. They did it by hand too, so it was unbelievable.
I see that.
Yeah.
Not an easy job.
And at the entranceway that we had scraped and painted and new exit door numbers, I think just stand out on both schools. So I'm very happy with that as well. So we've had some upgrades, and it will continue, as you know, to keep things bright, shiny, and clean so the students have a good environment in which they can learn it. Our total enrollment as of September 17th is 1,499. 982 in high school, 517 in the elementary school. We did have by the 15 days of school, we're required to have three of our drills completed, and we did that. We meet the state standards and requirements for that. Regarding harassment, intimidation, and bullying, there is no report for the high school, nor a report from the elementary school in that regard. And with that, I'm gonna turn it over to my assistant superintendent of schools, Mr. Place.
Thank you. Just to confirm on those two policies for abolishment, so 5114, children displaced by domestic violence, is being recommended abolished because those same provisions are in policy 5111, which is eligibility of resident and non-resident pupils, and the religious holidays policies 8810 is recommended abolished because it's addressed in policy 2270 for religion at schools.
Thank you.
Well, you have the benefit of a computer to look at all that. From the technology side tonight, so just kind of an update on our laptop distribution, our one-to-one program in grades 5 through 12. We distributed over 1,000 laptops this year prior to the start of school, which was really good. You know, we always try to do that so that students have their laptops day one, so it's better for the students, it's better for us, because we're not trying to distribute laptops on the days as school opens, so that was a very good thing. On track with prior years, about 85% of our students and parents chose to pay the technology use fee to cover that accidental damage, so that's also a positive thing. This year, about 40% of those paid the fee online, so helping to reduce some of the paperwork with all that. So everything with the one-to-one program 5 through 12 is going well and as expected. We are anticipating the delivery of laptop carts for classrooms in grades 3 to 4 probably next week. They have shipped, but we haven't received them yet. Once that happens, we'll be in a position to use some of the existing laptop stock that we had that were prior used in the one-to-one program to put in those classrooms. So anticipating that happening in the next couple weeks. On to some personnel items. So the biggest thing that we're dealing with right now is the implementation of Executive Order 253. So 253 was the executive order that came out shortly after our last board meeting on August 23rd, and it's on the agenda tonight as policy 1648.13 for approval. This was the governor's executive order that essentially requires teachers across the state, the teachers and school employees across the state, to be either vaccinated or be tested 1 to 2 times per week. So of the information we've collected so far from our staff, we have about 255 contracted active staff. About 25 of them have indicated to us that they don't intend to be vaccinated and would like to undergo the weekly testing. So it's about 10% of our contracted staff. We're working this week to get a letter out and start collecting that data from our substitute staff, which is a little bit more problematic, right? Because our contracted staff, we obviously have continuous contact with, continuous supervision of. Our substitutes are casual employees, right? So they work as needed, you know, some work this week and not next week. So for our substitutes, as we try to collect that data, what's going to be important is to be able to say, okay, you're vaccinated, you've shown us proof of your vaccination, you know, you're good. Or, you know, you need to basically on a weekly basis either go through our testing program, which we're trying to get set up with the help of the state program for our contracted staff. We could extend that to our substitutes also, presumably. Or if they're doing the testing on their own, to make sure they're submitting that to us weekly. What I'm concerned about is we're not in a position from a personnel standpoint to be able to say, oh, you know, I got tested this week, so I'm going to sub this week, but I'm not going to get tested next week, and then the following week I'm going to get tested again. That's going to be a record-keeping problem, you know, that's going to be difficult to manage for the substitute population. So as the policy reads that we're recommending for adoption tonight, you know, essentially for an unvaccinated substitute or casual employee for that matter, you kind of got to be in or out. You know, you're either going to be tested every week and sending it to us, or we're not going to, you know, keep you on that active list unless, you know, you come back to us and say, okay, I'm going to be tested again. So that's kind of how we're managing that process. You know, we have approximately 100 active substitutes. That's not to say all of them always work, you know, but keeping track of that, you know, is going to be important. So we're in compliance with the executive order. I should also note that, you know, this applies to essentially anybody who works in the school, so, and including people who aren't even our employees, you know, including contracted employees. Coaches, you know, who aren't otherwise associated with the school are also part of that program. So that's what we're working on and managing currently.
Who's responsible for paying for the twice a week testing? Is that us or is it on the person to get it?
So it's on the person to get it. We're hoping to be able to extend an opportunity through the state program for them to be tested here through that state program.
In which case, the state program will reimburse us?
I think the state program is paid for.
Yeah, they send their own vendor in and do it.
But for example, if, let's say, that person chose not to participate in the program that we're offering, that cost is on them. We're not reimbursing them for the cost of the test.
Okay, excellent.
And my understanding is that most insurance would not cover those tests because they're considered a condition of employment, not, you know, for a medical reason that you're getting.
Do we have a lot of employees giving medical notes in to be excused or religious notes or?
So it's not a matter of a religious excusal or any of that. It's either you're vaccinated or you are tested weekly. That's how the executive order reads.
So if you're not vaccinated for a medical or religious reason, you are required to be tested regardless of your excuse.
Yeah, if you are not vaccinated for any reason.
Yeah, okay.
There's not a requirement to religious or whatever exemption.
Got it. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
That's all. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, from our Director of Curriculum and Instruction, Mr. Coppola.
Thank you, Dr. King. I just wanted to congratulate the principals and the teachers and the entire staff and students on a great opening this year. I was on both sides of the street. It was very, very positive. It was great to see, you know, kids back and excited to be in school. One of the major initiatives that we have at the beginning of the school year is our professional development initiative. For our staff, for our teachers, and for our support staff as well. And in the first couple of days when we come back as a district, there's a lot of training that we are mandated to provide to our staff. So we have, you know, in addition to our meetings, in addition to opening up the school, we have PD trainings on health and safety, affirmative action training on the evaluation model, training on the HIV process. So our staff has gone through a large part of that mandated training in the first couple of weeks of school. In addition to that, one of the initiatives that we talked about at the last meeting was our staff being trained on the youth mental health first aid through Reverend Gratzel and his group. So our staff, our entire teaching staff, went through a pre-training on the first day that we were back, and went through a live online training on our first half day. We'll be finished with that training. All of our staff will have completed that training on October 11th. And you know, from the feedback that the principals and I have gotten from the teachers, it's been a very positive process. And it's basically just identifying key signs of students who might be in trouble or might be going through some kind of crisis. And while our teachers are extremely diligent and connected to our kids, we really think that this training, aligned with our major SEL initiative here, is really going to give us an extra layer of protection and support for our students and families. So that's our major focus right now in terms of where we are with our staff with professional development. I also wanted to update you, Mr. Goodall talked a little bit about the meeting that we're going to have tomorrow with parents about the advanced placement program. As part of the action plan that Mr. Goodall presented, I just wanted to kind of give you an overview as to what professional development we have offered and provided for our AP teachers. I think at this point from July, and I believe there are some other teachers that are approved on this agenda, we've had 7 or 8 teachers that we've had go to virtual trainings, live trainings through the College Board. So we feel that that's an important part for them to get updated on the curriculum, to get updated on pacing. The College Board has made some changes in terms of their expectations based on coming out of a COVID year. So these informative sessions are very important. The other professional development that we have our teachers going through is all teachers, every teacher, whether they're new or experienced, were registered for a different online training that occurred last week through the College Board. What we were able to do with the principal's help was to arrange for those to be on-demand training. So the teachers didn't necessarily have to attend them live, but they have them, they have those videos accessed, and we're going to give them a time period for them to complete that. The material and the information that they get from that will be reflected in their lesson plans, and will also be reflected in their general planning and assessment with their students. So it's just the continuum that we're going to stay with, to get a refocusing on our advanced placement program. And I think that again, our meeting tomorrow night will be very helpful and informative to parents to talk about the benefits of the program, because ultimately what we want to do is again establish that connection between our teachers, our families, and our students, so we can make them successful at every level. And the other piece that we talked a little bit about, that Ms. Mineta talked about, was the sheltered instruction. And we started to have some preliminary discussions about how we were going to plan, or how we think we might want to plan for that training of the staff. And as Dr. Cajun mentioned, that's something that this year is a schedule that we feel we can set up to kind of provide that to our staff. So we can give you updates as we go and as we finalize that schedule. The other thing, just in terms of talking about programs, this was already mentioned, but looking at language arts, science, across the street in the elementary school, it's going to be a dynamic process. It is going to follow, as Ms. Mineta talked about, it is going to follow the same process we went through with ReadyMath. We're going to invite sending districts. It's going to be a collaborative process. And the thing that we were happy about with ReadyMath was the process, again, was deliberate, it was timely, and we felt we got as much information as we could to make a good decision. So we will follow that same path. And finally, what I wanted to share with you was one of the things that we talked about over the summer in terms of a transition for this year's freshmen was we instituted a Summer Warrior Academy, where for 6 sessions in 3 weeks in August, we reached out to the sending districts and communicated this program with offerings in science, math, and English, where we invited our incoming freshmen in to meet our teachers, to get acquainted with the curriculum, and to really kind of, the program was going to serve as our first transition piece for the students that were coming into the high school. So we went through the six session program, and we got a lot of anecdotal feedback from parents and students and teachers that was positive. The decision I made was to put out a formal survey with parents to get, again, some formalized feedback from them, and I wanted to share those results with you and tell you where we're kind of going to go from there in terms of that. So, do you have the PowerPoint there? So what we did was we basically broke the survey down into 3 categories. I wanted to focus on, and it's a short survey, I wanted to focus on communication in terms of how parents and students learned about the program, I wanted to focus on the instructional piece and also how it added, in terms of parents' perspective, how that might have added to a positive transition. So the first question we asked was, how did you learn about the ninth grade Summer Warrior program? Three found out about it from their from the Senate District website. 10 found out about it through direct communication from high school, and then there was one person that found out about it through just some conversation. So the way that we had set this up, we had talked to the Senate District about this, and we put it on our website. So the reason that I asked this question was moving forward, if there was any change that we needed to make in terms of getting this out to the Senate District, to their counselors, and their parents earlier, that might be, that might be more effective. But this is how it was broken down. There were 14 parents that answered the survey. I believe we had 26 in the program, so we have more than half, so I just want to be clear on that. So the questions that we asked, I know it's a little hard to see. The first question was, the program brochure descriptions provided accurate, useful information about the program. For the most part, people strongly agreed with that. We developed a program with very detailed course descriptions. We wanted to make sure that the course descriptions were accurate with the expectations of the parents. And our teachers worked with us with developing the program and writing the description, so we wanted to make sure that there was consistency there. The number of instructional sessions, 6, was appropriate and beneficial for my child. This was an important question for us. We wanted to get a sense, again, just doing this for the first time, whether parents wanted more or wanted less. So what we did was we had 2 sessions for 3 weeks. So for the most part, again, a 4.64 out of 5, most people thought that was appropriate. There was at least one comment that said, where a parent said maybe more sessions would be appropriate. So that's something we could look into. My child provided positive feedback on the instruction, presentation, and activities in the English class. This is just broken down. I asked specifically about their experience in the English, math, and science classes. For English, it was a 4.57. We asked the same question about science. It came back to a 4.64. The science class was very hands-on. Was about labs and inquiry. So I think the students really, really enjoyed that part of it. The English class was about writing, journal writing, and responses to specific literature. And I think that was, with Mrs. Solomon teaching that, I think that was a robust course. And finally, also positive feedback on about the math class. And we were fortunate enough to get Mr. Reed from across the street to come over and teach that class, and he did a very good job. We were not able to stagger his schedule because he was also doing work in the elementary school, so he actually had all of the kids in one class. The thing that was important about that was he was able to differentiate instruction because we have a lot of freshmen that come in. All of our freshmen come in at different levels with math, so we were happy to see those results as well. Again, the 7th question, upon entering the high school the first day of the Ninth Grade Warrior Academy, the staff provided my child with direction and support in welcoming him to the program. That was really important for us as well. I want to thank our guidance department, Mr. Kenny. Mr. Goodall was out welcoming the students. Stephanie Winter, who works as the assistant to Mr. Goodall, was very was very proactive in getting the kids to the classes. That was really a key part for us, because if the students walked into the building and were a little apprehensive, we wanted to make sure that they had momentum going into that first class. So that was a big part of it. Was very happy to see a 4.71 there. The next question, should there be a similar summer program for my child as a rising 10th grader? I'd be interested in the child attending that program. We got a 4.36 on that. I want to get a little more information on that to see if we can continue a program for enrichment for rising upperclassmen. My child had a positive experience interacting with other students in the ninth grade Summer Warrior program. This was key too, because we had students from different sending districts coming together, and that socialization piece is big in terms of our SEL initiative and becoming acclimated to the high school. So that was also positive for the most part, 4.57 out of 5. And the final question was that just a general question. I believe that my child's overall experience in the ninth grade Summer Warrior program will have a positive impact on my child's transition from the elementary, middle school to Massillon High School. That was 4.79. Parents were ultimately, for the most part, very happy with the program. I also included parent responses. There was a chance for open responses here. Again, there were some very, very good comments here. There were some good suggestions. One comment dealt directly with the program overlapped with some of our sports programs, and you know, if we could kind of reschedule there because the child wanted to be involved in extracurricular activities, so we could make that change. There was another comment about maybe more sessions, and I think one more comment just about more small group work within the classes. So those are things that we'll talk to our teachers about, and we can just go from there. So Jess, if you could just give you a couple seconds to read those responses. There's about, I think, 11 of them. And again, the last comment there was a good one about more time, you know, for a tour and to go to see the lockers. But that was also accomplished through the first day that Mr. Goodall and the staff scheduled when freshmen were able to come in before the other students. So, you know, just as a summary, we were happy about the program. We were glad to see that the parents were satisfied and happy with what we delivered. Our teachers did an outstanding job. Mr. Reed, Mrs. Solomon, Ms. Griffith, Mr. Glenn, Ms. Crowning, they all did a wonderful job with the program. So again, we were just very happy to see this feedback, and I wanted to share that with you tonight. And we'll be looking to continue this, hopefully, for next summer as well, for our rising 10th graders and our incoming freshmen.
And maybe we can expand it as some of the suggestions were, definitely. Mm-hmm. Any questions about the summer program, guys?
No, it's just a great idea, though. It really is. Good to see the positive feedback.
Please understand that tonight when you approve the superintendent's report, you're also approving the resolution to designate October 23rd through October 31st as School Violence Awareness Week and Red Ribbon Week, satisfying the requirements that appear in NJSA 18A 36-5, as well as the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights Act. With that concludes the superintendent's report.
Do we have a motion to accept the superintendent's report? Mr. Hoveter? Mr. Lofredo?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Passone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hoveter?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mr. Lofredo?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Karen?
Brings us to the Manasquan general items. Does anyone need anything separated out? Items 15 through 23. Any questions on items 15 through 23? Do we have a motion for items 15 through 23? Mrs. Pollack? Mr. Balderman?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Passone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hoveter?
Yes.
Mr. Lofredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Carrie?
Brings us to the Manasquan Sending District's general items. Does anyone need anything separated out? Items 24 through 47.
I did have one question. Am I allowed to ask you?
Sure. Hello? Do you need anything separated out or just a question?
No.
All right. So does anyone have questions on 23 through 47? 24 through 47. Go ahead, Donna.
The number 40, the donations of the $1,000 each, is that to the foundation or is that to the school for something? I just never saw
that. That's the redevelopment fund where we do the advertising for the school. And
for the board.
For the banners. Yeah, that appear on a football field.
Okay.
And that's $1,000 a year in perpetuity. Every year they'll be putting their banners up.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's a good question.
I just have never seen that type of money, not knowing what it was for.
Oh, it's awesome.
Mr. Kang, can you step right on 26?
Yep.
Do we have a motion? Do we have a motion for items 24 and 25 and 27 through 47? Ms. McGarry, Ms. Fredo.
Mr. Baldwin?
Yes.
Mrs. Passon?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patan?
Yes.
Mr. Hovener?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mr. Lucretta?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Carrie?
Do you have questions on 26, Sam, or?
No, I just can't say every day that I don't agree with the mask policy and then vote yes for it.
Okay. So do we have a motion for item 26? Mr. Burns? Mr. Balderman?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Passon?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Sorry.
You look very different.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hovener?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mr. Lucretta?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
No.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Carrie?
Brings us to item 48. Does anyone have any old business they'd like to discuss?
Can we add that in?
Does anyone have any new business they'd like to discuss? So that'll bring us to our executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron and Bear Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act, provides that the Manasquan Board of Education hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or are one of nine subject matters listed in Section 12B of the Act. Whereas it is recommended by the superintendent that the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas the board hereby declares that its discussion on the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Manasquan Board of Education that the board shall go into executive session to discuss the following items: litigation, contract matters, and personnel matters. Items discussed in executive session will result in board action when the board reconvenes to public session. Do we have a motion to go into executive session? Mrs. Pollock, Mr. Hovener, all in favor?
Aye.
A motion to go back in a public session. Mr. Balderman, Mr. Burns. Roll call.
Mr. Balderman.
Yes.
Mrs. Passon.
Yes.
Mr. Burns.
Yes.
Mrs. Cotaya. Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mr. Hovener.
Yes.
Mr. Angolia.
Yes.
Mr. Lucretta.
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock.
Yes.
Mr. Serino. We have a quorum.
Brings us to the Manasquan personnel, item 51. And we have one item to add to that.
Yes.
Michael's going to read.
Along with the addendum for document 4, there will also be one additional item, which will read, be it resolved that the Manasquan Board of Education hereby withholds the salary and adjustment increment of employee number 4522, beginning the 2022-2023 school year.
Do we have a motion for item 51? Mr. Hovener, Mr. Wilfredo?
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hoviter?
Yes.
Mr. Lucretta?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Garrett?
Brings us to the Manasquan Sending District's personnel, item 52. Do we have a motion for item 52? Mr. Burns? Mr. Boldeman?
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hoviter?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mr. Lucretta?
Sandy, can I abstain on two names on the blue sheet, please?
Let me know the names.
Michiko, M-I-C-H-K-O, and Lucretta.
Can't imagine.
And yes to everything else.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Garrett?
Do we have a motion to adjourn? Mrs. Pollak, Mr. Hoviter, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.